Right, please stand and open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13.
Okay, chapter 13 of the book of Numbers. This is Old Testament night, Wednesday night. For all the old folks reading the Old Testament. All right, before we start, could I have Barry Quirk, could you come up for a second? Or can you do that? Or microphone down to you or what? Come on up. Okay, Pastor Barry is the head of the school, Greater Grace. He's the principal. So you may be seated. Okay, so if you are the department head for GGCA, Pastor Barry, you know, and you do a great job. So just tell everybody just a word about what's on your heart regarding what you do.
Okay. Well, it's quite a privilege and a great mission, first of all, to be co-laborers with you in the education of your children. That's really what our mission is, that we work together with you to raise your children in a place where they not only learn academics, but they learn how to have spiritual life. We want your children to be able to not just learn what to think, but how to think. And we have the most awesome team of teachers. If you're a teacher or a staff member at GGCA, could you just lift your hands for a moment? Yeah. So these are really people who, before they go to your children and teach them about God, they've gone to God about your children and have really have it on their hearts to teach from a godly perspective how to think right in this world that we live in. And, you know, in this day and age that we live in, learning how to think right is crucial. So we're thankful for the pulpit and for the support, for the life and for the amazing staff and for your children that you entrust us with them.
Great. Did you go to the school?
I did. I actually graduated from Stevens Christian Day School a long time ago.
What year was it?
1984. Just a youngster.
Then let's have Pastor Adam Speedy just come up for a second. Come on up. Okay, so Pastor Adam works with Pastor Shibeli in the missions department. And what's happening?
We have a great opportunity, actually, for we have a vision in the next 2 weeks at a missions banquet to kind of show what's going on in this ministry beyond these four walls all over the world, not only to us, but also to, we're hoping for 50 outsiders, pastors, businessmen, so maybe you could invite some, pay for their ticket, that's in 2 weeks' time. Gearing up for convention, also another great opportunity when missionaries return. Just building up, being led by God in who to call on a daily basis, calling people around the world to encourage them. And it's just, every day is like, you know, the life of God, you know, just the wisdom of God, the life of God is, it's a joy to be around. Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, turn in your Bibles now, you may stay seated to Numbers chapter 13. The banquet, which is in 2 weeks, is $50 for a ticket. The theme is the worldwide missions of Greater Grace. There are missionaries sharing. There is the Nepali relief There is a scholarship program for bringing young men here to Bible College next fall, and also the Faith Promise message of promising, making a faith promise. Let me show it to you in simple terms. Here's my budget for the month. It is X number of dollars. This is what I receive, what I spend, how I live. And in it is my tithe, which is the top, and then all the other things that come later. And by faith, I could say to God, Lord, are you interested in the third world? Are you interested in the gospel? Are you interested in helping people, in delivering them from depression, demonic possession, oppression, education, faith, church life? And the Lord answers and said, yes, I am. I sent Christ into the world so that people could have a new life. And I say, I want to partner with you, Lord. But my money is all tied up, like I've drawn on the diagram, Lord. You see the diagram? Do you need for me to explain it to you? The Lord said, I know. You're all tied up. You spend every dollar. You're doing your whatever. So that's fine. But can you live by faith and trust that I will give you every month an extra $50 that'll just come, or $100, or whatever the number is? You choose the number month by month, and then give that money for missions. And you give it, and by this method, Finland, I think their yearly budget, the money that they get is $120,000. Churches, I won't mention the names, is $70,000. The Hungarians do it also. Even though their economy is different, the faith is the same, isn't it? Faith is the same. It depends on you and God, what you want to believe God for. And then when you see it happen, you say, well, I did. Maybe you did have to hustle a little bit to get the money. I don't know. But it's you and God. And at the end of the year, you just say, praise God, I got this money. I gave it to missions. And when everything else is said and done, I know that this happened because I was challenged and I lived in faith and the Lord did it. So that's the principle. So this banquet, if you come to it, we just want to minister to you. We want to encourage you. We want people from the outside to come also. And it'll be a beautiful time. And the next day is our graduation here at NBCNS. And I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you that is making this happen. This is amazing. Now let's go to the Word, Numbers chapter 13. And we see a beautiful story. Many of us are familiar with it, but it is also a fresh story. We need the map of the Middle East to help explain it. And we have this picture here. We have the Nile River. We have Egypt. We have the Sinai. We have the Jews coming out of Egypt. So we have three territories. Egypt, if you can see it up there. We have the wilderness. And we have the promised land here. The promised land is Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, and then into the sea, Red Sea at Eilat. This is what is known as Israel, and this is the promised land, is Israel. Promised land. So we have three territories. They represent our lives. Three territories represent our lives and what is happening in our lives and God's work by His Spirit in bringing us out of Egypt. Egypt is representing the world. And Pharaoh is the king, and he represents Satan. And Moses went to him and said that we must leave. And he laughed at Moses, in effect, and said, "Ridiculous. You are slaves. You shouldn't even be talking to me. Your history, out of here." And Moses said, "I'll see you again in another month." The judgment came. Moses went back, said, "Let my people go. You got to be kidding me. This is a joke. Out of here." And so Moses was dealt this way 10 times, except after the 9th time, Moses said to Pharaoh, "You will not see me again." And Pharaoh, of course, he didn't, and they left. So they went through the Red Sea in a miraculous way, and this is the first part of our life as believers. We are delivered by God's grace and taken out of the world. He has saved us. We have been baptized. They were baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea. We are baptized unto Christ at the cross. At the cross, we have gone from death unto life, from a slave to freedom. At the cross, we have found salvation and God's mercy and God's grace. So this happened to us the day we believed. Colossians 1:12. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In the wilderness here, they go up, they cross over here, and they go up this way on this side, and here they are deciding to send 12 spies over into the promised land to check it out. The time is about a year and a half from the time they leave Egypt to the time they are there, something about that time. Actually it was a year and the second month, so that's 14 months and some days. And then they were over in the promised land for 40 days, and they go through the land and they come out with a report. And this is Numbers 13. I think maybe it doesn't need to be explained more than that, but we are talking about the Jewish people having been promised this territory. This is sweet. This land here is sweet territory. Why? Because in the Middle East, gold is not as important as water. If you don't have water, you don't have habitable territory. But here, you have water. It's coming down from the north into the Sea of Galilee, down the Jordan River. On the west, you have the Mediterranean. So it's green and lush, and it's a beautiful territory, and it's the promised land with milk and honey. And we are to go there. We are to go into the promised land. What it means for us is in the wilderness, we wrestle with our flesh, as we will see in the story. The flesh does not have God's mind. The flesh does not see God's way, does not see God's hand, doesn't understand God's Holy Spirit. But the flesh and spirit are against each other. And in the wilderness, they just felt the heat, the thirst, the hunger. They worried about their children. They complained 7 complaints. Repetitively for 40 years. This reminds me of my life in this world when I failed to see God's hand. I failed to recognize the Spirit in my life, the voice of God, the Spirit of God. I fail to see it again and again. But if we learn to live as Joshua and Caleb did in the Spirit, if we learn to live by the words that come from God, Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, I have led you this way. Now, God could have in his mighty power brought them out of Egypt in the common way of route into this land. There's a highway here. But the problem with that, they would have been pursued. They might have been captured. God could have intervened. He could have done it anyway that way. But he is showing the Jewish people miraculous things. He brings them a way they would have never imagined through the Red Sea. And this is the way he wants to lead us also. Not just with the common and the regular and the normal, but he wants to show us his way. So he brought them south and they were caught, except he delivered them through the Red Sea, showing them, and it would be spoken through generation after generation, that God brought us out of Egypt. Not our strength, not our wisdom, not our own ideas and opinion, not our rationalisms, nor the sentiment of human beings, our feelings and opinions, but he led us in a unique way. So when they go here, they come to Sinai and they're camped there for a good period of time, about a year. They're camped there, they get the law, and then the cloud moves. And they move with the cloud. And you can read this, Numbers 10, 11, these chapters. The cloud moves, they move as people. There's a lot of people and there's a lot of equipment. They have four wagon loads that the tabernacle is packed up, put on the wagons, and they're walking through virtual desert territory. And now they come up that side, and now they're going to send people over into the promised land to check it out. What kind of land is it? To check it out. So read with me 13 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now notice this. Not just send anybody, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, but he's got to be a quality guy. I need the guy. I mean, I need a guy that's right on target. He's a ruler. He has opinion. He has strength. He's a leader. This is the type of person, one from every tribe. And these men, these were their names, verse 3. Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And now, and these were their names of the tribe of Reuben. And I won't disrupt your concentration by me trying to read those names and going through the whole list. So I think it would be a beautiful thing to do it. But then, verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. To spy out the land. Have they ever been there before? They have never been. Have their relatives been in the land before? Yes. 430 years earlier, Abraham's family, Jacob and his sons, 70 people, left the promised land and went into Egypt. And that was the last that the Jews were in Egypt, were in the promised land. More than 400 years later, they go in to check it out. What kind of land is it? To see it. Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Now, this is an analysis. This is a review, an observation, a reconnaissance. This is to go to see how big are the people, how strong are the people. But actually, behind this is really something deeper, and it is God promised the Jews the promised land to Abraham in Genesis 13. And this is their land. But when they go to spy it out, they are really doing a natural analysis of what it is. Looking at it to see how big the people are, how well watered the land is, what kind of governments are there, how big are the cities, are there armies in the land, and so on. But actually, in a sense, it really doesn't matter what it looks like. If God gave it to the Jews, then it's theirs. If God sent the brought the Jews out of Egypt to the Red Sea, it is not a problem for him to bring them into the promised land. Can he that brought us out bring us in? Deuteronomy 6:22. This is a thought, the thought that we are to nurture and take advantage of the way we think and how we look at life. Because there are many people that are limited by what they see because they live in very little faith. They live in empiricism. The dictionary definition is this. The view that experience, especially of the senses, is the only source of knowledge. The employment of empirical methods, as in science. My senses tell me, or my senses I perceive, or by rationalism, this definition is the theory that the exercise of reason provides the only valid basis for action or belief because of reason. In other words, by my senses, we look at the promised land and we just say, armies are big, people are tall and muscular, they have weapons of warfare. We cannot go in there. Reasoning by putting together my thoughts that are rational and based on my experience is something we just can't do. It cannot happen. The best example maybe, or one obvious one, is walking on water. When have you walked on water lately? When have you ate manna from the ground? It was on the ground. And they said, what is it? That's what they ate. It's like Pastor Shibeli eating in Africa. What is it? Just eat it. Okay. But seriously, there are things in your life that you will experience and rationalize and eliminate God from the picture. I think our health is one. Maybe a doctor's report. Maybe the statistics on the cancers. Maybe the evidences that are all empirically calculated. And it is all very obvious. And the Lord is saying to the Jewish spies, check it out. Because actually, in it is he's wanting to cultivate. He wants to lead them in a difficult way, in a challenging way. Because in his wisdom, he has great pleasure in us living by faith. And in our diagram, there's not a question, this is their land. But by reason, there is a question, we cannot do it. In the plan, the Lord said, in 430 years, he said to Abraham, in 430 years, your people will be in Egypt, but I will bring them out. And you remember Joseph's words when he was dying, when you leave Egypt, then bring my bones out with you. Joseph knew they were going to leave. And if you were to say to Joseph, how will they ever leave, excuse me, how will they ever leave Egypt? He would have no idea. I don't know how they'll ever leave Egypt, but they're going to. Because God said it. And it didn't happen until about 400 years later. But he knew it will happen. They will leave Egypt. And when they do, bring my bones out too. This is all very interesting to us because we are those that believe in eternal life. But who here has seen a resurrected body or a glorified saint? None of us have seen one. None of us have seen Jesus resurrected, but we nevertheless, we believe. But empirically, the evidence isn't there. But by the word, the evidence is there. By reason, we cannot find our way by reason alone, man's reason. But by faith, we live by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shows us. How about when you first came into the ministry? For me, it was up in Maine. It was a beautiful time, beautiful church. At the same time, I had my reasoning. I had my feelings. I had my cultural background, my own ideas. I had my youthful zeal and passion for living my own life. And doing things my way or doing what I think I want to do. And it was all challenged by faith. And I said to Jesus, like many of you have done, Jesus, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here, but I'm going to believe it is according to what you have said. But by reason, I can't see it. But by faith, we will see the hand of God. Again and again. But look at what happens in the story. Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath. And they ascended up by the south, came up to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshi Tommy, children of Anak were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came under the brook of Eshcol, cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought it the pomegranates into the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. So the detail goes like this. They came in, they swing south, they come up this way, they come up around this way, and they go through the land 40 days. You know, 6 weeks about of walking and going through and taking notes. And they're probably trying to be not noticed by the natives. They're spies. But they're recognizing, wow, this is a good land. This is not a joke. This is a good land. We can taste it. This is real. We have heard about it by our ears, but now we are seeing it, and we are recognizing how good it is. But then comes their reason, and it says in verse 26, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us, and it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, these giant people. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they had all the demographics. They knew where the people were and what kind of people they were and how developed they were and how strong they were and the metalworks and the food supply and everything about it. But they are these wandering Jews that came out of Egypt without any weapons, with just their livestock, whatever would come with them, and now they're wilderness dwellers. And this is where Christians are often. They get saved, they stay in the wilderness. They get saved, and they have a poor self-understanding. They don't have it. They don't have any fight. They don't have any real focus. They can't believe that this could happen. This is why God is angry with them. You mean I brought you out of slavery by miracle, miraculous work, and I brought you out, and you don't believe that I could bring you into that territory? And I think the natural thing was, you know, we want to stay away from those people that could hurt us because they are huge. They're like Dutch people. They're giants. You know, they're monsters. Why would we go into the middle of big, big, strong people that are established in their communities? Why would we do that? Why? Very good point. I don't want you to settle down, honestly. In our church, I don't want you to settle down, and nor is there any condemnation in our church. There is no legalism. There's nothing like that. But there is a message of speaking to our hearts and saying, maybe there is more for me. Maybe there is something for me. Maybe there is something more that I could take a hold of. And the natural man says, no, somebody else is doing it. Or no, not you. Don't you remember? You're not that kind of guy. You're a nice guy, but you're not that crazy type of guy. You stay away from the trouble. You make sure the thing is, and there we are in the wilderness, when the Lord has prepared, listen, he said it in Deuteronomy, I prepared houses for you and vineyards that you have not planted, and those are yours. And I have cities for you, and you have not built them, but they are yours. And I have something for you, and you didn't earn it, and you could never get it on your own, but it is yours. Isn't that something like the spiritual dimension of our new life? That I have a life now that I'm living that I'm kind of surprised myself. How enjoyable, beneficial, how useful, how blessed your life is because you are entering in to the promised land. Now notice something. 12 spies go in 39 years later after they've died in the wilderness. 39 years later, they're back at the same spot. They go back down. They're in the wilderness 39 years. And Joshua brings them back up there. And how many spies go in this time? Two. Moses said, we're not fooling around. I don't need a big committee. I just need two guys that are after God. Let's go. You two guys go in there. We're taking it. You're not scouting it out. You're just going in there, and you're the first guys in, and we're coming in God's timing. We're not fooling around. No, nobody's going to cancel out this part of the plan. This is going to happen. I was one of the spies that went in 39 years later, and I knew we could have gone in then because God was with us, but we couldn't go because God was teaching us, them, and us, how he operates. Okay, so let's finish it up here. Chapter 13 and verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Now, I believe there are men of God here, women of God here. By the way, we have Fruji here from Hungary, right? You just stand up just for a second. That's it. Okay, sit down. Thank you. Okay, she's a missionary in China. Hungarian, hallelujah. Missionary in China, 4 years, coming back now with us here. And these people, and you, and me, and wherever we are in our life, I'm raising my family. I have 5 kids, diapers. I don't have 5. But I have 2 jobs. I have a lot going on. But you have a need to be encouraged beyond your reason, empiricism, and sentiment. Don't allow these things to rule and govern your life. Have times when you are stirred up in faith, and the Spirit will do it. And dream a dream and be encouraged and say, we can go up at once. Let's go now. And they go, oh, no, no. Oh, him, take him out. No. And Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can go now. I heard a missionary say one time, Phil Strout, he said, I had all the reasons I couldn't go to Chile. I wrote them on a piece of paper, I flushed them down the toilet, and I went to Chile. I wonder what happened to the toilet after that. I am saying something. I don't know. That's just an illustration. I am saying something. That sometimes we just kind of get into a mood. We kind of back off, make our reasonings, get discouraged, and it kind of surfaces out of our subconscious mind. And we say, I can't do that. Or that can't happen. Or this is the way I always am. Or I don't, you know. And the Lord is saying, hey, you check it out. You come back and tell me. And I'll tell you that you're missing something. Because I really brought you out to bring you in there. Okay? Let's read it. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people." Caleb said, "Let's go right now." They said, "We are not able." We have a large number of people that agree. We have 10 that agree. We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. Let's say that out loud. We are not able, and dramatize it like in a Shakespearean play. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Stronger than we. We are not able. And we say, "We are able." They say, "We are not able." We are able. No, we are not able. You cannot do that. Cannot do it. Never. It is not possible. We are not able. Okay. Flesh versus spirit, right? All right, let's go. They brought up an evil report of the land, verse 32, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in our men of a great stature, like Pete with Stera." And there we saw Big Dave, actually. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Do you know what it's like to feel, be like a grasshopper? Do you know what it's like to look at a guy and call him grasshopper? Do you know what it's like to look in the mirror and feel you are a grasshopper? Do you know what it's like to go to work and feel like a grasshopper? You know what it is to be an elected government official and feel like a grasshopper? To be a pastor, to be a grasshopper, to be a missionary and be a grasshopper, to be a mom or a dad and be a grasshopper? Do you know what that is? I do. I have the feeling, I know what it is, you know what it is, but it's not true. You are not grasshoppers. You are not grasshoppers. The Almighty God brought us out of Egypt. The Almighty God saved us. The Almighty God calls us by name. The Almighty God gave us food in the wilderness. The Almighty God leads us into the promised land. The Almighty God says, "I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Love your enemy. Love your neighbor. Do good to them that are evil and hurt you. Do good. I am with you. I am God. Give and I am with you. Help me in my work. I am with you. I will bless you. I am with you. I will give you land you did not, it is not yours, but it's yours by promise. I will give you buildings and vineyards. I will bless you. I am God. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Listen to me," God says here. "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." But these people backed off, lived in the wilderness. They didn't see more. They didn't have it. So that's our message. Okay? Amen. You may pray with me. Okay, let's pray together. If you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus in your life, this is the starting point, having Jesus in your life. Say to Jesus, "I believe in you. I believe in you. I trust you. Come into my life. Take me out of Egypt and save me." Raise your hand here tonight. Anyone at all on the internet? Anyone at all? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. We're praying. Today is a day of prayer for greater grace worldwide. And we're praying for this work, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And lead us as brothers and sisters in the faith into demonic territory. We have been sent by God, and we are not backing off. We are sent into this world, and we enjoy it. And we'll take down the powers of darkness, principalities and powers, and manifest Christ in this world. Give us a great spring, great concentration, great focus. Give us words. Give us a lot of joy. Give us amazing purpose. Bless our spring. Bless our summer, Lord, and guide us as overcomers. In Christ's name, amen.